Thank you, Wanda. We appreciate that so much. Indeed, he hides our soul in the cleft of the rock, covers us there. God is so good, and that came through beautifully this morning. I invite you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 4. You have your Bibles with you, James chapter 4, and verses 13 through 17 we're going to read. James chapter 4, and beginning at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. James 4:13, now verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. Let's pray. Lord, I pray your blessing upon our time together and your word. May indeed the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted. May our hearts be drawn to him. May we look above, Lord, to that one who is seated at the right hand of the Father, who is coming again in great glory and power. And Lord, may our hearts be in the condition to where we are anticipating that, looking forward to your coming again. And it may be there's one here this morning who's not ready, not really looking forward to the end, to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because their sins are not yet forgiven. They are yet lost in sin and have no hope of heaven. Lord, I pray today would be the day that they find hope, that they put their trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died on the cross for us. He came into this world born of a virgin, born a human being, and yet was God in the flesh. And as God, he had to have a body that he could die. And we thank you, Lord, that you died for us. You died for our sins, that we might live forever in heaven with you. We pray you'll bless our time now, speak to our hearts, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are. Here we are. The very end of 2019, and we're almost to cross the threshold and into the doorway of 2020. Can you believe that? It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. We couldn't get used to the idea of living in the 2000s. Those of us that go back to the 1990s and 1980s, and some of us farther back than that, 1960s and 1950s and 1940s. And, wow, do we keep going back? Well, maybe there's a few of us here, but it's amazing that we're just ready to go into 2020. And as we look through the door of the year and beyond, what do we see? What do we see? Do we see a man or a woman living a more spiritual and Christ-like life than ever before? That's what we want to see, right? What do we see? Do we have 2020 vision for 2020? We need to. What do we see? See, 2020 vision is normal vision. Now, I'm told it's not perfect vision. Perfect vision is more like 2015 or 2010. Most of us don't have that. But 2020 vision is pretty good, pretty clear. Well, do we have 2020 vision? What will 2020 bring, as if it has power in and of itself to bring anything, right? I mean, isn't that silly to say, well, I wonder what this next year will bring? Well, the year itself brings nothing. But what will you bring into the year, and what will God bring to you? What will the Lord bring, and how will he work out his plan in 2020? Now, what is the year ahead but the gathering together of 12 months, or 52 weeks, or 365 and a quarter days? I always forget that. Or 8,760 hours, or 525,600 minutes, or 31.5 million seconds. What will all those time gauges bring? We face many, if not monumental, uncertainties in 2020. And I'm not just talking about the political uncertainties. Who will be our president towards the end of 2020? Or economic uncertainties, or meteorological uncertainties, like, what is it? Global warming? It was. Then it got changed to climate change. And now they're wanting a new name, climate catastrophe. And you watch, it'll work. Pretty soon we'll be saying climate catastrophe instead of climate. Well, what's all that going to bring? International uncertainties. And the uncertainty of life itself, right? We have approximately 8,760 hours promised for the coming year. Or are they? Are they really promised? Are they guaranteed? How often we are reminded of the uncertainty of life. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we're going to go into a city and we're going to make a profit. We're going to do really well. And then he adds in our passage in verse 14, whereas you don't know what's going to be tomorrow. For what is your life is even a vapor. Your life is a vapor. It's a puff of steam that's here today and gone tomorrow. Here 1 second and gone in another second. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. Like riches, they're here today and gone tomorrow. And we need to see clearly what tomorrow will be. We need a 2020 vision. We read in Proverbs 23:5, wilt thou set thine eyes or thy vision upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle towards heaven. I know that's happened to me over the years. As soon as I get ahead, I'm behind, because that money just flies away. For me, it burns a hole in my pocket. If I get any extra, I'm going to spend it. I find a way to spend it, right? That's the way some of us are. The rich man who thought he was set for life heard these moan-chilling words from heaven in Luke 12:20. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Right? He thought he had it made. He had everything set. And then God called him a fool because he was putting his confidence in material, in things. He only had a vision for the temporary, the material. And so Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare. Get ready to meet thy God because you will. I will. Mark it down. We will meet him. So then we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall have this or that. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We devise our way, we make plans, but God's the one that's directing every step we take in his providence, according to his divine decree. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Or we might say, man proposes, but God disposes, right? If the Lord wills, we go about planning to do this or that, all in the Lord's will. It's all say, Lord, whatever your will is. I'm planning this, but may your will be done. And that ought to be our desire for the coming year. In the midst of uncertainty is this certainty. God will do his will. The Bible says the counsel of the Lord, that will stand, as we read in Proverbs 19:21. in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, Ephesians 1:11, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. God is working everything out in your life and mine exactly according to the counsel of his will. So our life is not just willy-nilly, haphazard, whatever will be. It's God working out his will in our life, and my job is to get on and get going the same direction God is taking me, right? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Isn't that wonderful? God is working in you as a believer to will and do his good pleasure. His good pleasure. Philippians 2:12 and 13. God will do all his good pleasure. In other words, God's going to do whatever pleases him. It may not please you initially, but it will ultimately bring pleasure to you. So I ought to then strive to do and try to be what pleases God. God is going this way, and I need to open my eyes and get on the right track with God and go with him for this coming year. And to do anything less is to strive against him. And woe to the one who strives against his God. Job said in chapter 7, verse 7, my life is wind. My life is wind. In Psalm 78:39, he remembers that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not again. Psalm 89:47, remember how short my time is. Psalm 103:14, he knoweth our frame and remembers that we are but dust. We are as a flower of the grass. So again, I ask as we face the new year, what's ahead? What will it bring? Well, I don't have much to say in that, but instead maybe we ought to be asking, what will I bring? What will I bring? What will I do? What will I be? How will I see as I look into the new year and as I enter into 2020? Does my life make a difference? Am I living in such a way as to bring glory to God and blessing to others? That's what we're here for. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. The two greatest commandments. And I can do that as I enter into the next year. Yes, my life is a vapor, but in this vaporous time, can I not be fruitful? Can I not count for something? Can my life not make a difference? Yes, it can, and it must. I can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, Psalm 1, verse 3, that brings forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the wind, like the chaff which the wind drives away, but not the one who serves God. His life counts for something, counts for God, and thus counts for everything. So let's get focused for the new year. Let's be faithful, and then we can be fruitful. Focus, faithful, focus, faithful, and thus fruitful, right? Let's get our eyes corrected. Let's get on our glasses, right, that we might have 2020 vision in 2020. So what's the plan? Number one, the first thing we do is stop. Before we can start, we've got to stop. Stop and think. Sometimes before we start something, we just need to stop and think. No way. Like when I tear into something, whatever it might be, or if I try to do something with my car, I say, Tara, okay, stop. Just think about what you're doing, because you know how unable you are to do anything that really works on this car. I don't know anything. So what do I do? Okay, I got a camera. I'll take a picture. I take a picture so I know what it looks like when it's all together. Okay, so stop and think, and on, there's so many things you plunge into, next thing you know, you've lost a piece, you don't know what you did, and you don't remember how it's supposed to go, and so stop. Sometimes we just need to stop and think before we start. Sometimes I enjoy listening to the radio program called Unshackled. The organ plays. You that are familiar with it know that. Unshackled. True stories of people who were lost and bound in sin, who turned to the Lord and found freedom, and thus their lives became unshackled. The program that makes you face yourself and think. I don't you love that, and they say that every time. The announcer, the moderator says, a program that makes you face yourself and think. Well, you and I need to face ourselves and look and think. Stop and evaluate what you're doing with your life. You ever do that? After all, your life is not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, we will face God. We will see God, and we'll see him very clearly in that day. And he is the great evaluator, the great examiner, the judge of all. Now, what if we were to do an evaluation of your spiritual life today? Okay, we had, let's say, 25 questions to ask you about your spiritual walk. Your spiritual life. How would you do? How would you come out on that evaluation? How would you fare before this little court? I don't know about you, but I hated evaluations at work. I hated them, but inevitably there'd be an evaluation at the end of the year, you know, when Roberta and I drove school buses. We got an evaluation for driving a school bus. I thought, how ridiculous. You know, and I remember I got marked down on my evaluation for my lack of discipline on the bus. And I go, what do you mean lack of discipline? I yell at those kids at the top of my voice. You know, I threaten them. And I know I didn't do very well with that, but... Anyway, evaluations, but we didn't get about it. I usually came out about a B minus or a B plus, somewhere in there. But evaluations, well, we need to evaluate ourselves, right? 1 Corinthians 11:28, let a man examine himself. Stop and examine. Let a man examine himself. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Also Galatians 6:4, Acts 4:9, Acts 12:19, Acts 20:24, in case you want those references. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto the God of heavens. We have transgressed and we have rebelled. And sometimes when we're honest with ourselves, we will have to admit before the Lord, Lord, I have sinned against you. I've not been what I ought to be. I could be much more for you. After all, you were everything to me. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. Consider your ways. Where are your priorities? Are they in the Lord's work or are they in your own selfish pursuits? I mean your work at home, at the job, at church, at recreation. We are always, always, always serving the Lord in whatever we do. Psalm 90, verse 12. Says, we spend our years as a tale that is told. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 9 and 12. Examine, prove, search, try, consider, number, judge yourself. We'll have about 9,000 hours to round it up. Next year, 2020, we have about 9,000 hours. 6,000 of them or so will be waking hours. Now, you have a lot more waking hours if you only need 4 or 5 hours of sleep at night. But let's assume you get 8 hours of sleep. I guess a few of you do. How will we spend those hours? Will we grow or will we slip away and see another year that's given to us by God lost, wasted on our own selfish pursuits? You know, I'm only one day older than yesterday. One day, that's all. I haven't aged very much since yesterday. I'm one day removed, and one day from the day before that, and one day from the day before that. And it was just a number of days ago that I was only 7 years old. Can you believe that? I was 7 years old, and here I am, 16 years later. But it was just one day at a time. One day, a few hours, and here I am. And Jeremiah 8:20 says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Time is rushing on. Are we saved? Are you saved? Are you living a life that reflects that salvation? So stop and think. Consider, examine, evaluate. Look at your life. Don't look at it as to how you compare with others, but how you line up with the Word of God, the Bible, right? Look into the mirror of God's Word and be not a forgetful hearer. By the way, you need to read it. And maybe it's time to start a new reading plan for the coming year. I think we have some back there, but I forgot to get them out. But you can go online, get plenty of Bible reading plans that take you through the Bible in 1 year, or maybe the Bible, read the Bible through in 2 years. Go a little slower, but read the Bible, examine yourself, and stop and think. So stop and think. Number two, for the new year, we need to walk. Stop and then walk. Okay, I've stopped, I've examined myself, I'm ready to go, and now what do? I walk, and I can rejoice as I walk. So you might say, walk and rejoice. When in danger, we're taught to stop, drop, and roll, right? Stop, drop, and roll. Well, we stop, then we drop to our knees, and then we roll our burdens on the Lord. That's how we ought to do. Drop what you're doing and walk, we might say. Adam walked with God in the garden. Enoch walked with God, and he was not because God took him. Abraham walked as a pilgrim in the land of promise. And Psalm 1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The blessed man walks with the Lord. Walk means a deliberate way of life that pleases the Lord and is taken one step at a time. One step at a time. How am I going to get through the day? How am I going to get through next week? One step at a time. You just put one foot in front of the other, right? That's how we do it, somehow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. By the way, memorize Psalm 23. Many of you know parts of it, you kind of know it, but to really quote it, some of you say, I can't do it, I'm that way. And then I memorize it again, but then I get things mixed up. Memorize Psalm 23 while you're memorizing John chapter 3. But it's a deliberate way of life that pleases God. We live in danger, but there's one walking with us there in that danger. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were in the fire, but there was a fourth one in the fire with them. He was walking with them in Daniel chapter 3. We're to walk. Our life is to be a walk. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, or looking around carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. So walk carefully. Walking with God is living for God, and we can do that. I can live for God. I can live for the glory of God if I just will. If I put away my selfish interests, put away myself and put God first, look to him first. As we walk with another person, we are in step. We are going in the same direction. We have the same purpose, the same goal. And so it should be with our God. But is it? Do I have the same purpose, same goals as our God has for me? We sing, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his sweet will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Walking is a way of life. Walking means it's our conduct. How we live. Is our walk becoming of the Lord? Is it reflecting the glory of the Lord? Wherever I go, remember, wherever I go, God walks with me there. For example, if I go down to the bar, God goes down to the bar with me. With me. By the way, I've noticed of all the businesses in town, whenever a bar opens up, it never closes. Every bar that was open when I moved here 38 years ago or so, every one of them, I believe, is still open. A lot of other businesses have come and gone. Well, why is that? We know why. We know because alcohol is a plague. It's a danger. Beware. Anyway, so if I go to the bar, God goes with me. Or if I bring the bar to my house, Jesus is my guest. The things I watch on television or online, whether it be computer, smartphone, or tablet, God watches it with me. He watches everything I watch with me. He really does. He really does. So how's your walk today? What about where we don't go and should be going? To worship the Lord as often as we can. To read his word. To share his word. To share his comfort and encouragement with others. To use my gifts to serve others and thus to serve God. So number one, I stop. Number one, then, two, then I walk. And number three, I run. I run. When I was in high school, I ran. I went out for track. I ran back then they called it the 880. We ran yards then. We didn't run meters. We ran yards. And I ran the 880 or the half mile. I was on the 2-mile relay team. And we did well. When I was on that team, we won most of our meets. And we even went to state. And then we got fifth place at state. We didn't quite do as well there. But we ran. And to train for running and track, you run. And that's all I did was run and run and run. And I got to my junior year, and one day I was out running around the track to train for track, and I saw a guy get sick, and he puked. And that was my last day of track. I thought, what am I doing here? We are in a race. We are in a race as Christians. And so we must then walk, but we also must run. Some of my very best friends in high school did not go out for track. And some of those went out for golf. Can you believe golf, a sport in high school? They did. They were patsies. They were softies. They couldn't handle that I tried to deal with. But you know what? They had fun every afternoon, and I didn't. In fact, they would go on to win a state championship in golfing, of all things. Well, guess what? The Bible never uses golfing as an analogy for the Christian life, but it sure does talk a lot about running. So listen, get in the game and run with the truth. Hebrews 12:1, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race. Paul said. He didn't say, I finished my golf game. the race. Now, some of you, golfing is like a race, and you're chasing a golf ball around the hills all day long. And then 2 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. So the Christian life is similar to running a race. It takes endurance. It takes effort. And all of us are in the race, but not all will receive the prize. But you can receive the prize. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, and publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. We run with the good news of the gospel, don't we? And Romans 10:15 says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. So now that we've stopped and faced ourselves and examined ourselves and made things right, and that we've turned and are walking with the Lord, time is of the essence, then we must run. Run to serve God, run to serve his people. I've seen people who serve, whose job is to serve others, literally run in their job. UPS truck drivers, I've seen them run to the doorstep with their package and run back to the truck and jump in it and take off because they want to deliver that package on time and not get fired for not meeting their quota. I know I worked at UPS for a number of years, a long time ago, and I remember the pressure the drivers were under to get their packages delivered in a certain time. I've seen waitresses running with their arms full of plates, and I can't believe it. I've always envied them. I've always kind of wanted to try it to see if it's possible, but, you know, five plates at one time on two arms, five or six, and they run with those plates without dropping them most of the time. Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ye did run well, the Bible says, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth. Galatians 5:7. You were running well, you were serving the Lord, and then you ran into a hindrance. Maybe it was a person. Maybe it was a situation that discouraged you. It often is because you have a sense of urgency. We run because we've got to get there. I've got to get there. I got to deliver this message. I need to win this race, and so we run. And that's the way it ought to be in our Christian life. I've got to do it. I've got to, it's urgent. Do you have muster? I must. Do you have a muster? Can you muster the want to in serving Christ? Will you indeed be so earnest, so urgent, so constrained that you will run for the Lord? You can, if you will. If you will, you can. So let's run with perseverance, patience, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:1. Don't piddle, don't dilly-dally, don't delay, but run for God as if your life depended upon it, because it does. It does. But wait. Okay, stop, walk, run. Number four, wait. Don't run ahead. Don't run behind. Run with the Lord by waiting and watching for him, meditating upon his word, reflecting on his grace, contemplating his love, considering, looking at his power and glory. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Psalm 25:5, lead me in thy truth, teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait. I wait with great anticipation all the day. Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. and so many others. Isaiah 30, 18, blessed are they that wait for him. 1 Thessalonians 1, 10, we're to wait for his son from heaven. We wait, we anticipate, we look forward to that glorious appearing, that blessed hope. Psalm 25, 21, for I trust in, I wait on thee. So waiting is a trusting. I trust while I wait and I'm trusting at the same time. And what trust believes by faith, it waits for by hope. What we believe by faith, we wait for by hope. So stop, walk, run, wait, and finally, number five, stand. Stand. We all the while stand. We take a stand. The chaplain of the Senate back in the early part of the 1900s, Peter Marshall, prayed this prayer. Give to us clear vision that we may know where to stand and what to stand for. Because unless we stand for something, we shall fall for anything. Unless we stand for something, and that something is the Lord, we're going to fall for anything and everything. If we don't stand for anything, we'll fall for everything. Everything that comes our way and tempts us to not be everything we can and must be for Jesus Christ. And so let's stand. A few scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2, 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, watch you, stand fast in the faith, act like men, be strong. Galatians 5, 1, stand in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And Ephesians 6, 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles and the schemes of the devil. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And Philippians 4, 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. We can stand. We can put our feet on the word of God and say, here I am, and I'm not going to move. I'm not going to move. By God's grace, I stand for him. Standing means believe in what you believe. Take a stand. Plant your feet. Live it out. Be steadfast. Be consistent. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That those storms come and the circumstances get rough, I'm planted my feet on Jesus Christ and I'm not going to move. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. But the ungodly shall not stand. And without Christ, you will not stand. You will be blown away. And when it comes to facing God, you will not stand before God. He will say to you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And he may say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Will you stand in that day of judgment? Are you ready? Are you serving? Do you have a vision for 2020? Do you see 2020 and 2020 for the new year? Are you focused? Are your eyes focused? Get focused. Be faithful and you'll be fruitful. And by God's grace, we can be. We will be. God helping us. May this coming year be a year unlike any other year before. The best year ever. And it can be if I'll just be what God wants me to be. Let's look to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. Thank you for these admonitions, which are many and yet only a small sampling of that which we find throughout Scripture, where we are admonished over and over to be what we ought to be, and we are also reminded that we can be and will be what we ought to be because your grace is sufficient for us. You are the one that enables us to walk and to stand and to run and to wait, and it's only by your grace. Thank you, Father, for your grace shown to us on the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for us that we might have life eternal. Lord, I pray if there be any here this morning that have never given their hearts to Jesus Christ, have never truly been born again, are not sure they're saved and they're on their way to heaven, may today be the day when they give their life to Jesus Christ, that they might be able to enter into this new year with a new vision, a new hope, a new Savior, a new life in Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing now as we close. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's turn to hymn number 149. 149. Let's stand together as we sing, He Giveth More Grace. 149. God leads you to come, feel free to come, maybe just to pray here at front, or if we can help you in any way, we're here to help you whatever you're going through. 149.